Beloved, if you have your bulletin, you can see the words to the anthem Natalia just played. It's an anthem whose words have deep meaning. It's taken from 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, but it was created into a prayer by our Anglican and our Presbyterian brothers and sisters. Originally, these words, go forth into the world in peace, be of good courage, hold fast that which is good, render to no one evil for evil, strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the afflicted, honor all people, love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the blessings of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. Those words were codified into a prayer and placed in the book of worship by the Anglicans and the Presbyterians. And it was used for that Sunday when new converts were confirmed to the body of faith. It was the prayer that was laid upon the shoulders of those who had come to be part of the family of God. But I am endlessly curious about the time that the Presbyterians added this to their prayer book. The Anglicans added it in 1928, but the Presbyterians added it in 1946. 1946, a year after bombs stopped falling and sons and daughters stopped dying in World War II. In 1946, when peace had broken out and there was a new feeling of hope, our Presbyterian brothers took up these words and decided to keep them and to send their people out into the world after peace had begun to reign. It's lovely. It's powerful. But I have a question. Would it have not been more courageous to take these words out into the world when bombs were still falling, when chaos still reigned, when peace had not broken out? Wouldn't it have been more courageous to declare peace in a time of chaos? Because that's exactly what happened in Acts chapter 8. I want you to get this chronology in mind. You heard Ted read from Acts 1, when Jesus tells the disciples, "You shall have power after the Holy Spirit shall come, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Jesus tells them that. And then in chapter 2, the power does come. The sound of a rushing and mighty wind and tongues of fire on the heads of the disciples. But that's Pentecost. That's next week. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit here. But here's the deal. Jesus' words came true. The power came. And the disciples knew what was next. In Acts 1, Jesus has said, when the power comes, you get up and go out and be my witnesses. So now the power has come. Now it's time for them to go out and to be God's witnesses. Now it's time for them to go out, right? Wrong. These disciples stayed in Jerusalem. Did you hear? They went to the temple. They prayed. They appointed another disciple in the place of Judas. They were arrested. They went before council. They went back home. They healed people. They were persecuted. And they stayed in Jerusalem. These disciples knew what was supposed to happen, but they stayed in Jerusalem. Jesus said, go out, be bold, be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts, and they stayed in Jerusalem. What's up with that? And they stayed there until something happened. It's when Saul begins to rage. When Saul begins to come into their homes and drag them out. It's when Stephen, who angered all of the authorities because he preached Jesus, they trumped up charges on him and dragged him out of town and stoned him to death. And now the church is panicked. Now there's fear everywhere. Now they scatter. Beloved, the writer of Acts is very precise in the language used to describe what happens post-Stephen's stoning. That word scatter has agricultural meaning. When the writer of Acts says the people scattered, here's what he's saying. They left, finally, they left, but they sowed seed. He could have said they run away. He could have said they took flight, but he said they scattered. They aspero. They sowed. Wherever they went, they sowed the seed of what had happened. They sowed the seed by saying, there is difficulty in Jerusalem, but God has kept me. There is panic in Jerusalem, but God has brought me safe to this place. They sowed little seeds of hope because those who escaped had a story, yes, of difficulty, but also of that salvation. And if you know anything about sowing seeds, you do not sow it and immediately get a plant. They sowed seeds that would one day burst forth with life. They were frightened. They scattered. They sowed. And he also says, the writer of Acts 8 also says, and they traveled. That word travel is derakomame. Derakomame in the Greek means they took their feet to new places. In the midst of this panic, in the midst of this fear, they took their feet to new places. And in scattering, sowing, and traveling, taking their feet to new places, the word of God began to spread. And it also says that they proclaimed. Philip, in particular, proclaimed. Kairouso, Kairouso. And to proclaim means to bear witness. What I know about a witness is that a witness never says what somebody else has told them. To be a witness means you are repeating or responding with answers to things that you know, that you've experienced. They proclaimed, they were witness to what they had seen. And at the end of what my brother Ted read, after all of the scattering and traveling and proclaiming, they had joy. Because God in the midst of this crisis showed up and healed. God in the midst of this crisis showed up and delivered. They had joy. Beloved, in the 8th chapter of Acts, the church has left the building. And they didn't leave with a manual that told them how to go be witnesses. They didn't leave with a plan. It was out of panic and fear that they scattered. The church has left the building. And this morning, as I look around empty pews, as I know there is a fellowship hall where this day no fellowship will take place, and a narthex where we gather to talk and hug and exchange is quiet, I see so many similarities because the church has left the building. We are not in this place, and we didn't leave with the manual that told us how to go out and do this. But the same God who provided an opportunity for those men and women in Acts 8 is providing an opportunity for us in precisely the same way. Beloved, we can scatter. We can sow seeds wherever you are this day. The word of God is in your being, and you can be like the great sower in the Gospel of Luke. You can scatter what God has done, and you don't have to worry about it growing immediately. My job is just to scatter the seed. In the midst of this coronavirus, we don't have a Saul coming into our house and dragging us out, but we do have a virus. In the midst of this virus, we don't have people being thrown in prison. Oh, but my God, all of us can name someone who's been hospitalized in this coronavirus. We may not be fearful of Roman legion coming to arrest us, but let's be true. Fear has risen up. But still, like the people in Acts 8, in the midst of all of that, we can scatter the word of God. When somebody says to you, how are you doing in this coronavirus? You can simply say, God has kept me. When somebody says to you, aren't you afraid of going out? You can say, I am going to be wise and use practical wisdom and trust that God will tell me when to stay and when I may go. You can say when somebody says, I am sick of this, I am tired of this, you can say to them, by God's Spirit, I am guided. You can just say to somebody, bless you. You can scatter and sow God's word. And you can take your feet to new places. You can travel. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to get you to go out prematurely like others in our nation. No, no, no. That's not the kind of travel I'm describing. Here is what I'm describing. If you have been one who's never liked solitude, you can take your feet to new places and travel to a place where you put yourself in the place of solitude. One among us said solitude is the vacation of the soul. Picasso said, without solitude, no serious work is done. And it is said that if we don't like our own solitude, how can anybody else like our plentitude? Beloved, take your feet. If you don't like solitude, take your feet and travel to a new place. Travel to that place where you are by yourself and grow quiet, because it's in the quiet that we can best hear God's voice. Be still and know that I am God. Those disciples in Acts 8 traveled to new places, and we're not headed to Samaria, but we can head to a quiet place in our homes and find that space where God might speak new wisdom into our being. And you can take your feet and travel to new places in another way. If you love solitude but really don't like the crowd, maybe God is inviting you to travel to be in fellowship. Maybe God is inviting you to travel to pick up the phone and call that person who keeps rising up in your mind. Maybe God is inviting you to take out those note cards that you bought all those years ago and write a note of thanks to someone who you really have wanted to say thanks to for the longest but never have. Maybe God is inviting you to join a Facebook group or a YouTube group where you can exchange with others in ways that will defy description. You can take your feet while staying exactly where you are and move to a new place and be blessed and learn. The disciples in Acts 8 went to new places, and we have this time to try out new places in our lives as well. And the third thing they did was to be a witness, to proclaim. Beloved, if I asked you this question, during this time God has blessed me, what would you say? If I said to you, now during this time I've learned my church means to me, what would you say? If I said to you, in this midst of this coronavirus, I've understood my faith to be, what would you say? I'm not asking you to go out and evangelize the world. I'm asking you to know your truth, the truth that you've learned through this time. Because those disciples in Acts 8 didn't tell anything that was so theologically great. They only told what they knew. And that's what made it theologically great. You and I can be a witness. We can be a witness to those who are frightened. We can be a witness to those who are panicked. We can be a witness to those who don't know where to turn. And at the end of the reading that Ted offered to us this morning from Acts 8, it says, and they had great joy. And you and I, if we will in this time choose to scatter, sow the word of God, choose to travel to new places and learn new things and choose to be a witness, we will find great joy. Because in those acts, we will have been obedient to God. And I'm so grateful for my study of Greek, because I learned in this week in preparing for this sermon that that word joy means cheerfulness that brings about calm. Cheerfulness that brings about calm. That's why joy is different from happy. It's a cheerfulness that brings about calm. That's why that anthem was so appropriate. We can go out into the world with peace. We can go out and be of good courage because we seek to serve in a way that God brings us joy, that cheerfulness that brings about calm. Beloved, just like for those disciples in Acts 8, we no longer have the gift of the ritual or the habit of gathering here, but the church is still open. It's just left the building. The church is you and me. And wherever we go, wherever we scatter, wherever we take our feet to new places, wherever we proclaim and serve as a witness, wherever we find joy, we are being the church. May we never simply want to go to church. May we learn in this time to be the church and to always leave the building, that the church may be wherever we are, go forth into the world with peace and be of good courage. And God, who is Father and Mother and Son and Holy Spirit, will be with us forever. Put on your traveling shoes. Get you a bag of seed. Find your badge that says witness and go out into the world in peace. That the God who blesses us, the God who fills us, the God who sends us might have that his name raised, and the world will never, ever be the same because the church has left the building. Gracious God, they didn't want to be scattered in Acts 8. And we don't want to be scattered now, but we are. Show us how to sow good seed, to travel to places we've never been, and to proclaim what we know, what we may be witnesses of, and give us joy, that cheerfulness that settles inside and brings calm, that we might be your ambassadors and the world might know you live in us. Bless us, our God, we pray this day. And may you, beloved of God, go forth in peace and be of good courage. And may the God of all creation rest in you, empowering you to leave the church and to leave the world better. This we pray in Christ Jesus' name. Amen and amen.